This is RN Drive. We'll lead Ali with you. And at this time on a Monday, of course, it's time to meet our Monday Muse. Here at 27 minutes to the top of the clock, this week, it's Nick McKenzie. Don't you love that? And if you do love it, then you should go out and buy it. It's a song called Steam, the latest single off the album Outlands by the band Deep Sea Arcade. Nick McKenzie is from that band. I've just given him the most straight plug you could possibly get, I reckon, on radio. And he's our Monday Muse for today. Nick, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me, and thanks for the plug.
I know, it was pretty direct. I could have tried to dress it up and make it, you know, a little bit more artistic, but I just thought, no, I'm not going to do that today. I'm in a direct mood.
Yeah, straight to the point.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, very, very 60s. Like, immediately you spot that. The sound of the guitar, the hand claps, the sort of reverb vocals, everything about it. You were going for that, clearly, I'm assuming.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a bit of 60s, 70s, also a bit of 90s as well.
Really? I didn't spot that in my mind.
Yeah.
Where was just that?
I don't know. That's just the use of certain guitar pedals that might give that impression. Oh, that was the intent. But you're definitely right on the money. There is definite 60s influences.
Are you going to tell us what the pedals are? Are you one of those bands that, like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to
disclose
too much,
that
like,
information. No, actually, it's a Blue Boss Chorus that we use.
Oh, right. Well, there you go.
Yeah, they're really good. Nirvana used a lot of them.
Yes.
Or used one of them. maybe they went through a whole bunch
but
of them.
But they used it a lot.
Yeah.
I think that's what you mean. Yeah, there's that chorusy sound. Maybe so that's your 90s thing then.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's got that happy feel about it, but look, I don't know. I mean, you know what these songs are about more than I do, obviously. But it just seemed a little bit sort of, I don't know, telling people off a little bit, the lyric in that song.
It is a happy song in the sense that it is letting off steam, but it was written at a time when I was feeling cranky. Well, that was the inspiration. It's more of a warning, I think. And
to
I was,
whom, Nick?
To just everybody. I was just at a point where pressure was building up, you know, pressure to do the album, pressure to get on with whoever I was hanging out with, pressure to do a whole bunch of stuff. And that was my outlet in that song.
So you thought you'd just, under all that pressure, just come out and write the second single?
Yeah, that's right.
That's not
like
a bad
weeks, but weeks before the album was mixed.
What I was excited to talk to people who are doing or just released a debut like this is, because there's sort of a rawness and an excitement that's there that isn't there when you're jaded and you're on your fourth platinum album and it's all a bit old.
Yeah. I think that is definitely does get captured. Like when I've listened back to the album, you can hear it. And I think that has a lot to do with the recording at home and just kind of like a lot of the songs have a lot of history and they were recorded at between 5 and 6 years ago. So,
So this has been a very long time coming then.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've been writing since we were 16. So there's ideas that have been revisited and there's been ideas that were only kind of written 5 months ago. So there's a whole range of stuff and luckily it kind of all fits together quite nicely.
But you signed to a label. I mean, this is an Ivy League Records release. So how do you start something that long ago and then end up with a label? Did you record it and then just toddle off to the label and say, hey, would you like to release this? Or at what point did they get involved in that process?
Andy Castle, our manager, he basically came and saw a couple of shows and really liked the band. Then we approached him and asked him if he'd manage us because we thought he was a legend. And he said he would. And then from there on, he's associated with Ivy League and Ivy League liked it and they signed the band. But he had a whole backlog of demos and he quite enjoyed the way they sounded and that kind of all culminated in us being signed and working with those guys who have been very good to us.
And then touring your pants off.
And touring our pants off.
So given that there was such a long gestation for this, is there a sort of a clear development in the sound? Do you hear what
definitely.
You did early and go, hang on, that's not us?
Yeah, and well, no, I can hear, I think it's all very much us. But I think that, like you say, the 60s influence is very much, those are the things that we grew up with. That's kind of like when you start writing music, it's like, what better lesson to learn than from 60s, you know, British rock and roll. So that's definitely, you know, was the kind of 101 starting point. But then we've, you know, developed our sound. We're very interested in cinematic soundtracks and all that. So it just is kind of like everything we've gleaned from, you know, the things that we liked.
All right. So you're our Monday Muse, and I'm always interested to get inside the heads of musicians who put things out of their own, because you can kind of then peer behind what they've released and see what it is that's sort of gone into making up the influences that you're talking about there.
Yeah.
You've chosen something that surprised me. A little bit,
really?
I've got to say. Yeah, well, we just, I don't know. There's something about the sound of your music and the sound of your choice that is, well, I would say, very quite different.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's true. I think the reason why I chose, it's Beck, Paper Tiger. And the reason why I chose that is because I think that, firstly, Beck is an amazing songwriter and he's changed and done different things. And that particular album was written after a 9-year relationship broke up.
Mm.
And it's full of beautiful imagery, that particular song.
Mm.
And it is a breakup song, but it's got this kind of desolate landscape imagery, and that resonates with me a lot. And also the production on it is just outstanding as well. It was produced by Nigel Godrich, who's better known for working with Radiohead. He's also worked with Air. The production is so musical. It's exactly right for the songs. It's the strings sound so lush, the drum sound, that particular, the snare sound on it. Everything is just perfect.
This is Paper Tiger by Beck from the album Sea Change.
Just like a paper tiger, torn apart by idle hands, through the hell skelter morning, fix yourself while you still can. No more ashes to ashes, no more cinders from the sky, and all the laws of creation tell a dead man how to die. Deserts down below us and storms up above, like a stray dog gone defected, like a
That's from 2002, Paper Tiger by Beck off the album Sea Change. The choice of our Monday Muse, Nick McKenzie from Deep Sea Arcade today. Nick, it's very full production, but it still sounds sparse. You got any?
It does. There's so much
space.
How
do you do that?
I don't know. Like, it just take, it's production wizardry. You know, everything is in its right place.
Well, thank you very much for choosing it. A wonderful choice. So much there to talk about. We could have kept going forever, although we do have to move on, and I do have to say that you're tearing your pants off. You're doing a huge tour with, I think, Children Collide. You're supporting Kaiser Chiefs. You're supporting Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. You're going off to Spain, I think, the Primavera Festival. All this sort of stuff that you're doing. Thanks for being our Monday Muse, and all the best with this album and the many, many more that are no doubt to come.
Thank you very much for having me.
Nick McKenzie from Deep Sea Arcade, our Monday Muse here on RN Drive.